Okay, Alexander, we have to talk about Lebanon and the last week. What a meltdown that's taking place in Lebanon on multiple fronts. The first one, which you could discuss, is the economic meltdown. We've discussed it in previous videos of the economic meltdown, but things have not gotten better. Things have actually gotten worse, and they're trying to secure an IMF loan, the IMF to rescue them. But it is not coming easy. They've actually planned elections for March. The parliament has finally agreed to have elections on March 27. And that is Prime Minister Mikati's government has gotten that done. But at the same time, it is I don't want to say that government, but many politicians in Lebanon are being investigated over that bomb blast. I'm sure many people remember that big blast at the port, which decimated much of the city. Many politicians are being investigated for that blast, Alexander, and that's created all kinds of other issues, mostly related to the judge who is looking into that, saying that that judge Tarek Bitar, who is looking into that explosion, many of the political class are saying he should be removed from the probe. And this is leading to protests in the streets, of which you had seven people killed in those protests, and that is leading Hezbollah to come out and say we are going to take action against the people that supposedly killed these seven people. From what I understand, that is pitting Hezbollah against Christian Lebanese forces. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alexander, with this violence in the street. The economy is melting down, as I said, with all of this going on, and it's just a terrible, awful situation. So you're looking at an economic meltdown. You're looking at investigation into the port, which is running into all types of corruption issues, I imagine, is a good way to frame it. And you're looking at possible civil war and an election in March.
Well, indeed, and I have to say straightforwardly that given the situation, I wonder whether there will be a Lebanon by the time those elections happen in March. And there is a real danger that just as this investigation, which I don't want to discuss in too much detail because I'm not really up to date with it, but the worry is that either that investigation is itself politicized and is being used as a political tool in order to discredit some parties, and I've seen articles that suggest that, or in the alternative, the investigation itself is now pointing fingers at people who are very deeply implicated in all sorts of things, and they have a reason to prevent it. But one way or the other, the investigation is itself creating major political tension against the backdrop of an economic crisis. And of course, very often in a country as bitterly divided and as in deep crisis as Lebanon is at the moment, an election, far from acting as a healing event, can actually polarize the situation even further and can make that crisis even deeper and fracture the country even more. And of course, Lebanon has already, in its recent history, had a 15-year civil war. And the worry must be that it's now heading back towards that again. And on top of that, we have this economic crisis, which has both domestic causes, in the sense that Lebanon has a totally dysfunctional and wildly corrupt political system. And it's also got external causes in that it's clear that Lebanon has got caught up in the Syrian war and in the sanctions that were imposed against Syria. And the result is that the problems in Syria are now spilling over into Lebanon itself, with Lebanon being in effect collateral damage, if you like, to the Syrian war. So it is entirely possible, I think, that we could have a civil war again in Lebanon within a few months. It seems to me that the situation is now so tense that it's entirely likely, I would say very likely, that that could happen. Now, about this protest, this particular protest was organized by the Shia parties, Amal and Hezbollah. They believe, or at least they claim, that this investigation of the explosion is being politically used in order to target them. So they went out to protest about it. They were fired on, or at least they claimed that they were fired on, and I believe this to be true. I mean, it seems that this is what did actually happen. They were fired on by a militia, which is Christian, but it's important to say that not all Christians support this militia, just as, you know, Lebanon is a country that divides on sectarian lines, but there are fractures within each of the religious groups also. But the danger is that if there is a total breakdown in the political situation, if we drift back towards a situation of conflict and war, then ultimately the country will split on sectarian lines, as it did in the 1970s, and we could see a renewed war in Lebanon with absolutely terrible consequences for the country and for the region.
How does the IMF loan really help the situation? Will it really stop this economic meltdown if the government manages to secure aid from the IMF, or is it just putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound?
I think it's putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, and the danger is it might not just be putting Band-Aid on a gaping wound. It might make the situation ultimately even worse, because what has been happening over the years is that the Lebanese governments have been borrowing from one source or another and spending in all kinds of ways, and they've been engaging in all kinds of corruption, and more money from the IMF will just perpetuate and deepen that problem if that money comes. Now, the Lebanese government, such as it is, has decided that Lebanon needs this money in order to pay for essential imports. But at best, even if that money is used honestly, which one can't be certain that it would be, at best all that's going to do is buy a little time. And the underlying problems in Lebanon are not addressed, then it seems to me that that little time will be bought to no useful purpose. Actually, I have to say, I doubt that that IMF loan will come.
Yeah, but what does Lebanon do then to stabilize the economic situation, to stop this meltdown? I mean, what can the government do in practical steps to prevent a complete disintegration of the country and eventually a civil war?
Right. Well, can I just say this is why the situation is so worrying, and why, as I said, we're probably very close to a systems collapse situation in Lebanon, because there are things the government could in theory do, but one has to wonder whether in practical terms any government in Lebanon would be able to do those things. One thing it could do, for example, is that it could formally default on debts and seek a complete comprehensive restructuring. It could agree an economic recovery program. It could accept that many of the banks in Lebanon are bankrupt and let them fold. That would be difficult, and it would be, you know, disastrous for many people, but at least it would clear out a banking system that is utterly corrupt and completely broken, and then you could start to build anew. He had a strong government able to do something, some of the things like that. A strong government also that would look to Lebanon's potential friends, and it's got many, by the way, then, you know, to provide humanitarian assistance and emergency assistance while all these big changes have been carried out. Then there's actually an awful lot you could, in theory, do. But is there any kind of government in Lebanon that could conceivably be formed that would do those sort of things? I think the straightforward answer is no. I think that there is no conceivable political force in Lebanon that would be capable of uniting the country and working towards the kind of economic reconstruction of the country that the situation calls for. And given that that is so, the situation, it seems to me, is much more likely to simply go on getting worse, and some kind of systems collapse at that point becomes increasingly likely. Now, the problem is, we can talk about systems collapse, but what does that mean in practice? In practice, what it probably means in a country like Lebanon is a descent into sectarian war at worst, and perhaps a balkanization of that country on sectarian lines, with each of the various communities carving out their own little regions and making whatever deals they can, at best. And that's not a good outcome, however you look at it.
Can this be, if you get to the worst case scenario and you get into a civil war situation, can this be contained within Lebanon, or do you fear it could spread outside of Lebanon?
It could very easily spread, because of course we have Lebanon sits right on top of all the fault lines. I mean, there's Israel to the south, which is the deadly, mortal enemy of the very powerful Shia Hezbollah militia in Lebanon. And, of course, Israel has a de facto alliance with some, not all, of the Christian forces in Lebanon. There are other communities in Lebanon that are connected to various regional players. There's Syria, which is, of course, coming out of a prolonged civil war, but which has had a long-standing history of involvement in Lebanon. Lebanon used to be part of Syria until the French decided to carve it out of Syria in order to create a country friendly to themselves in the Eastern Mediterranean. And the Syrians have always therefore had an interest in Lebanon, and there are some Syrian nationalists who, at least until fairly recently, aspired to absorb Lebanon back into Syria. It's not impossible. You then have Iran, that has a major interest in Lebanon because it backs Hezbollah and the other Shia militia groups there. And of course, you also have now the other power, Turkey, which is now becoming very ambitious under President Erdogan's leadership. It always wants to establish itself as the leader of the Sunni Muslims. It could back the Sunni Muslim community in Lebanon, and of course it might do so in rivalry with Saudi Arabia. So you have every conceivable grouping and regional power all involved in Lebanon, all concerned about Lebanon, all anxious not to prevent Lebanon falling under the control of the other regional rivals. So, you know, that's what happened in the 1970s, there was a civil war within Lebanon, it broke down on sectarian lines, and all the regional powers became involved. The problem is that in the 1970s, the regional powers, countries like Syria, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Israel, were all in much better political shape themselves than they are today. All of these countries, in one form or another, look to be much weaker now than they were in the 1970s. So there is a risk that instead of them being able to use Lebanon as the battleground in which they fight each other, a crisis of war in Lebanon would spread to them, and we would see the various groups in, say, Syria, in conceivably even Turkey, in Iraq, further afield, that they could all start being drawn into this war, and that the wars could actually spread into the neighbouring countries. This is an extremely dangerous situation, and I'm afraid I don't really see a clear way through.
Yeah, and the elections, as we said, are slated for March 27th. I wonder if they'll make it.
Well, I wonder if they'll make it, and I wonder if they do make it, whether those elections will make the situation better, or whether they might even make it worse. The point about an election is that it would work if you could get a strong government which commands widespread support coming out of that election process and able to lead the country forward in doing some of the things we've talked about. I don't really see that. I don't see any such political force emerging in Lebanon, because there are strong political forces in Lebanon, Hezbollah, the Christian militia that we talked about, other groups. The problem is that they are not accepted by the entire population of the country. Hezbollah may be strong and popular amongst the Shia, but it is rejected by most of the Christians, for example. So how do you patch up something out of a mosaic like that?
All right, we will continue to watch this story very carefully. very dangerous situation in Lebanon. Go to the duran.locals.com, everybody, and you will find all kinds of great posts and articles and videos from the entire community. You'll find a link for that down below. And Alexander the Duran Shop, 10% off. Use the code REALNEWS. Take care.